the Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're in Punchestown on Wednesday afternoon. It's their first jumps meeting of the season and the first day of their two-day October meeting. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look into the action, as always, is Irish Racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good man. The first jumps meeting of the year, then at Punchestown. We're really starting to kick into the swing of things, aren't we, the jumps?
Yeah, we are, yeah. Fortunately, they've been greeted with good to firm ground, which is quite unseasonal, really. I thought the rain that's been around at the moment might have just eased the game, but over in County Kildare, it seems to have missed most of the showers. I think we've got it over here. I think up in Weatherby today, they're probably going to get some of the weather which Punchestown may have hoped for. I think there might be a few non-runners away along the way today, because one or two of these more powerful connections are looking at some of their stars for the rest of the season and might think twice having walked the track.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for any non-runners throughout the afternoon. Don't need to worry about that just yet in the first race, which is a good thing because there's only three of them in the lineup.
Yeah, okay.
The 250
walk over.
Yeah. The 215 is a hurdle over 2 miles, and like I say, three of them in the lineup. We have an odds-on favourite as well in the shape of Captain Arceus, who's at 1-2. Umboro Man is 11-4, and Bob Lebeau 6-1. Captain Arceus is clear on official ratings and in much better form than these other two rivals. And do you think it'd be easy for the 1-2 shot?
Well, he should get the race run to suit here, shouldn't he? Let's face it. He's got an obvious front runner in front of him to shoot at, on Beau Roman, who often goes off like a scalded cat. He did that the other day down in Tipperary and paid for that late on. And even though Ruby Walsh is very skillful in the saddle, he still has a job restraining this horse, who likes to get on with it on one lung of air almost. And Captain Arcus, who settles quite well and stays beyond 2 miles, should hopefully just sit him behind and take him later on. He's a real chase in the making as well, Desi Hughes, his 7-year-old. He's just basically been marking time until he goes over the larger obstacles. And I'd imagine after a victory today, all being well, then he will go over fences sooner rather than later and crack on with a career that could bring a bearer much sweeter fruit. So it's unoriginal. He's going to be 2-1 on, 4-7, that kind of price. But it's a race where it's difficult to fancy the two against him, really.
OK. On to the second race then. This is at 2:45, and this is a 3-year-old maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and we've got another shorty at the top of this betting as well. This one is Clarkham for Gordon Elliott, Davy Russell in the saddle, and a decent start to life over hurdles when second at Ballinrobe. Probably bumped into one, as they say, and the fact that he was 18 lengths clear of the third on that occasion suggests to me that it might not be too bad of an effort. And with that form in the book, Andy, is he the one to beat here?
Yeah, obviously with the experience, he's got to be. Decent enough heat down in Ballinrobe, as you say. Time was OK. One of the better run juvenile races over in Ireland so far. And he showed with a good degree of promise. He chased home the well-regarded, well-backed Willie Mullins trained horse, Noblin. First time out, as you said, they were well clear of the rest. I didn't think the rest were up to much, to be fair, so I don't think that's too much of a barometer. But, you know, if you're up against a Willie Mullins horse, first time out, has got a good reputation and can jump well, you are going to be very much up against it. So Claire Cam does come out of the race with a huge amount of praise. And he looks a nice type. There is a horse, however, in this race that could give him plenty to think about if he takes the hurdles first time out. And that's the John McConnell-trained 3-year-old old Gilgo Bay, who has got some really good form on the flat this season. He's actually resurrected his career a little bit because he was a very good 2-year-old. I think this horse took part in one or two group races, if I remember correctly. And they thought he was going to make into a classic horse. I think John McConnell's going on record to suggest this horse could well be a group horse one day in the flat. That hasn't quite materialised through one thing or another. And those limitations were exposed last time out at Leopardstown in a handicap when he was well backed and could only manage a mid-division finish. Prior to that, he'd won quite well in Ballinrobe, but again, that was modest stuff. So he's definitely not running up to his rating at the moment, but he's still quite a decent prospect in the making in this kind of sphere, particularly against, other than the favourite, weakish-looking opposition. Interesting that John McConnell as well has had a really good time of it with a horse called Lindenhurst in the juvenile season so far over in Ireland. I think he's won his last two or three races, if my memory serves me correct, despite one defeat at the Listowel Festival. He's back on track with a win the other day in Garran. So John McConnell's made a good start with his juveniles, and I've got a feeling this horse could be the value here. I'm not suggesting we should absolutely knock him off the board, but if you can get sort of an each-way price, barring accidents, his ability, you sort of see him being at the first three here. So I'd probably go with Ogogo Bay each way. I think he's he could cause a bit of a shock.
Okay, the third race is the 3:20, and this is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. Plenty of them in the lineup for this one as well. We've got 21 of them at the moment, and it's Apache Stronghold who heads the betting. He was a good performer in bumpers. He won a Down Royal bumper, finished third at Fairy House, and then finished third in the Champion bumper at this course. Apparently, as well, reports say that he's been schooling very, very well at home. So, Apache Stronghold, the 11-8 favourite, Andy. What do you make of the Noel Mead runner?
Yeah, he's a nice type. Yeah, I played all his videos back this morning, actually, just to reacquaint myself with him. I was at the Punchestown Festival, of course, when he ran his best ever race on the figures. That was when he was behind the Davy Park Trent, the Liquidator, in a very, very good Grade 1 bumper. If you can run well in those kind of races, you know, the world's your oyster, really, over hurdles. And he's won first time out last year as well, just on the easy side of good at Down Royal. Now, that is the definite worry with this horse today. He was a withdrawal at Fairy House over the weekend due to the fast crowd. So I think Noel Mead might walk the track this morning, and you know, it all depends what he feels like, whether they've had enough rain for this horse to run, because he wouldn't want to be ruining him first time out, because, as you said, he's apparently been jumping really well. I read the stable tour in the Racing Post on Tuesday, and this is one of the most exciting horses he's got in his yard, he said. Apparently he jumps brilliantly at home. He didn't just say jumps well, jumps brilliantly with a capital B. But he definitely wants a bit of cut in the ground, according to the report. So this is a perfect starting point for him. But, I'm just a little bit concerned that on very fast ground, A, he might not be overly punished, or B, he might not even run. So tipping him at this early stage in the morning is fraught with danger. And he's up against three or four very smart horses. This is a very good maiden hurdle for their first meeting here at Punchestown. It's probably the highlight of the day. We've also got another significant runner here in the shape of Thunder and Roses. Now, he hasn't run since the early part of last March, when he was very strongly fancied to break his duck over hurdles. Unfortunately, a horse carried him out down the far side, and he never got beyond halfway. Prior to that, he'd finished a good third in a very, very good competitive Leopardstown race, and at the same track the time before behind us called Talbot Road. These are very, very good races he was contesting. I think he's actually much better than his 121 rating suggests at the moment. He's going to be a chaser. He comes from the point-to-point sphere. He's by-presenting, so I don't think he'll have as much trouble handling the ground as the favourite will. He's a very interesting runner. And the one, if you like, who's ready here and now, having come here off the back of a good run at Listowel, is The Job Is Right. Now, if you're looking for an each-way bet, he's probably the one in this race, because he's got fitness on his side, and he should have won the other day at Listowel. He made a right ricket to the last hurdle when he was going clear, and he virtually landed on his back legs, and a horse jumped into the back of him. So I think he was a winner. He's a winner without a penalty. So I think there could be doubts about the favourite running. I think he's the best horse in the race long term. I really like Thunder and Rose as well, but of course he might need the run. So let's go with The Job Is Right each way. I think he's the one that we should back today, just under these circumstances.
Okay, The Job Is Right each way in that one then. On to the 3:50 next. This is race four, and this is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And the betting for this one is headed by Pivot Bridge, who won 12 days ago, and the form of that race has been boosted by the runner-up, Billy Buster, who won easily next time out, and the fifth-place runner in that race as well, Mrs. McVeal, has also come out and won since. So that form looks pretty useful at the moment. He's the favourite, and Not For Changing is another one that's attracted the money this morning, 10s into 8s. But again, a whole host of them in here, Andy. Which ones do you like?
Yeah, nice to see you've done your homework. You've stolen my thunder, really, with nominating the two horses like that Garvin Park race, which have done that form of Pivot Bridge a fine service. It's just that he wants plenty of cuts in the ground, doesn't he, Pivot Bridge? And this horse used to be trained in the UK, of course, by Barry Hills, as it was then. And now he's with Adam McGuinness. But I've gone through every single strand of his form, and it's all on soft or heavy ground. He just does not go on fast ground, so good to firm at the moment at Punchestown. As I said, I don't know how much rain they've had over there this morning. Not that much has materialised. I don't think they're going to get any this afternoon. So he could well be vulnerable again today at Pivot Bridge, back on a fast surface. So you're looking at horses who've run well, perhaps in the last few days, who won't mind the quickest ground. And the one that fits the bill is the Boogler, ridden by Kevin Sexton, who actually I've got a bit of time for. I think Kevin's quite a useful conditional jockey. Now, this runs in the colours of a horse that does really well around Punchestown. The name escapes me for a second, but she's quite a good chaser. And it wouldn't surprise me if this six-year-old stepped up to the plate here on only its third start in handicap company. Good run the other day at Limerick, behind Dane Quest and Montreal. Just got a little bit detached and left behind there on that sharpest track. but did some really good work later on to suggest certainly could be competitive off the mark he's on at the moment. And with that run under his belt recently, A, on fast ground, and like I say, B, in quite a decent handicap, I think the Boogler here, around about 9-10-1 this morning, represents each and each way of value in a race which, to be fair, is going to take some finding.
OK, let's move on to the next race, and this is the 425, which is race 5 on the card. It's a mare's national hunt flat race, so we've got a 2-mile mare's bumper in this, and the market leader this morning is She's a Foxy Lady, who's come third and second in bumper so far, and the recent runner-up effort looked pretty decent as well. Going the right way, Andy, is she going to get ahead in front in one of these bumpers now?
Well, she certainly had every chance to do so last time, for my money. Travelled brilliantly in behind the pace, was always well positioned in the hands of Paddy Mullins. Unfortunately, the winner, Fumi, got first run on this mare, turning for home, and she couldn't quite reel it back, went under by a short head to the anguish of those that took a very short price about her. She's a leader, had every chance back in third. No real reason to suggest why that mare might turn the form around. But there is a horse, however, in that race that I thought ran well above itself on that occasion, considering what happened to it at the start. It was a very ragged start that day at Galway. I don't know if punters remember that, but I certainly do. And there were several that completely got detached from a very early stage because of obviously the starter was like mucking around, and one or two horses were whipping around at the start. And Fair Funny was one of them. She lost probably around about 20-25 lengths at the start. Didn't make up the ground very quickly, but did it gradually, and Shane Clements decided just to kind of creep her into the race to give her plenty of chance to find her feet. Certainly had every chance off the home turn, but of course that effort to make up all the lost ground certainly paid. But to be fair, only got beaten 9 lengths at the line, so 7th up 20, considering how far it lost, how much ground it lost, like I say, upwards of 20 lengths. I thought it was a really, really good return. Not many punters will factor that into their betting here today, and I don't think bookmakers have either. I'm not sure this horse is a 14-1, 16-1 chance this morning, based on that bare run. Was well fancied first time out as well, only a 3-1 chance to win down in Wexford. Ran well behind a horse of Willie Mullins, who's called Pink Cat. I think that form's fairly useful. So all in all, I think Fair Funny should be a lot shorter in the betting than it was. Certainly has a better chance than her odds imply. And I think she's worth a few quid each way. So Fair Funny at an overpriced 14-1 in the bumper.
OK, on to the penultimate race next, and this is the 4.55. This is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles, and Black Benny's the 130 favourite as we record this. But Friendly Society is one that I caught my eye this morning because of his good run over hurdles the other day when he was only narrowly denied by the McCoy drive. And back over fences, better over fences, isn't it, Andy? What do you make of this race?
Yeah, I think Friendly Society's got a chance on form, but the problem with him, if you're supporting him, is all his best form. He's at Limerick. He does save his best venue, like a lot of Michael Horrigan's horses do for that venue. 3 wins have come there, 0-30 elsewhere. So his overall profile suggests he's not going to be as good away from his beloved Limerick. You've got horses like Osana having their first run of the season, then he's knocking on a bit. So, you know, you're whittling this race down and suggesting there could well be something else to look for in the betting. Black Benny, certainly for me, sets the standard recently. A good win in Roscommon, where he beat a horse called Minella for value, who's gone on to win a couple of races subsequently for James Nagel. And then a decent effort last time, and a hot race down in Killarney, which saw Spring Heel finally win over fences. Of course, that horse ran really well in the Munster National on Sunday at Limerick, finishing second to 7. So I think the overall form of that race is probably the standard bearer, and I do think Black Benny's going to run well here at the front end of the market. If there is going to be one at a slightly bigger price, then perhaps look at Playtime Ben, who was rather overly aggressively ridden by Davy Russell last time out. Now, this horse shot off like his tail was on fire down in that Clonmel, and no great surprise to see him not quite get home over that 3 miles. But dropping back to 2.5, he could well be very effective here and have a big say in this outcome. Don't forget, this horse is the most likely winner of that Midland National at Kilbeggan in the middle of July, when he led, or virtually led, going over the last, only to succumb on the running to horses like 7 and Wise Oscar once his stamina ran out. So I think this 2.5 mile trip could be absolutely ideal for Playtime Ben. So that's probably the way I'll play it. Playtime Ben, who has definitely been knocking on the door and looking as though 2.5 miles would be his trip, and Black Benny, who arguably represents the best novice chase form.
OK, and the final race this afternoon is the 5.25. We finished with the 2.5 mile beginner's chase, and Jenkinstown have a pretty strong hand here. They've got Bonnysland or Bon Island at the top of the betting at 4-5, and that's the selection of Davy Russell. He's chosen to ride that one. They've also got Rogue Angel in there, who's got leading claims, and I suppose local celebrities entitled to get involved as well, providing he's fit enough from a year absence. I wouldn't expect Mrs Henderson to get too involved, but how do you see this going, Andy?
Yeah, it's difficult to be dogmatic, isn't it? All three of these in the top end of the market are making their seasonal reappearances. A lot of them probably want more cut in the ground. Two of them are from the gigging stand stud operation, so the betting's obviously going to be significant. So it's probably the least appealing from a betting medium I've got of the races this afternoon, because there's so much doubt surrounding it. If you like, if I was to nominate one of these horses that I think will be a very good horse at the end of the season and probably the pick of the trio, it would be Rogue Angel. He's the outside of the three, actually, funny enough, today. But I really do like this horse. He's ran a series of good races, in decent hurdle races all through last season. He was dining at the very top table. Fantastic run in that very, very good three-mile handicap, which rounded off his season in April at Punchestown. Absolutely bottomless that day. It was a race that, following me to Carlo, looked as though he was going to win easily when he went clear on the run-in, and he got swallowed up by the swamp on the inside of the course. And Acapulco and Rose Angel ran past him in the latter stages. It's all about stamina, this horse. 2.5 miles first time up on good ground over fences at Punchestown is a real good starting point for the Sunday presenting. Whatever happens, I do think we should keep on the right side of Rogue Angel. Out of the other two, fitness obviously going to be the key. You'd probably go with Gordon Elliott's Bon Island on the basis that he's quite a clean-winded horse and he's more of an athletic type than Rose Angel, who's probably look as though he might need the run. So just from a fitness angle, if the market suggests Bonnie's Island is the one, then I'd suggest he probably might be the one today. But I think of all the horses that are running this afternoon, I think Rogue Angel is one of the most intriguing runners I'm looking forward to following for the rest of the season.
Okay, good stuff. Rogue Angel, one to watch for the rest of the year. Then let's just have a quick summary, Andy, if you wouldn't mind, if you'll spin us through your selections for Punchestown one more time.
Yeah, I think it's more of an informative card today than a great betting medium. I don't see many standout wagers coming for me today. Haven't got that much. I'd probably want a nap either. I mean, Captain Orkios in the first should win, but he's no great value at 2-1. I'll probably go all Gilgo Bay each way in the next race just because I think he could be half decent over hurdles. Apache Stronghold, very much the one that punters should have on their lips in the 3:20, but will he run? That's the $64,000 question. If he doesn't, then maybe the job is right, is the each way angle here around about a 5-6-1 chance this morning. 3:50, I was quite impressed by the way the Boogler ran at Limerick on Sunday. He'll do for me each way. Do keep an eye on that horse I mentioned at a big price in that bumper. I think she'll outrun her odds. That horse of Davy Watchman's Fair Funny. She was way behind after a tardy start first time out, but did well to finish and knocked about seventh. Two against the field in the 4:55, Black Benny and Playtime Ben. I'll go with Bon Island in the last, but certainly my heart says Rogue Angel is going to be the best of the three as the season progresses.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Enjoy Punchestown this afternoon, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow ahead of another day at Punchestown.
Yeah, cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.